It is good to see all of you come who I thought the roadblocks would keep everybody out. I mean, not everybody, but a lot of us, just because we come here and suddenly are surprised with police cars and the roadblocks and that sort of thing. It says a lot about you. I thought when I got up that I would look at an empty audience almost, you know, and I'm glad we're getting out like we are. It's like the people with the Sermon on the Mount, which is what we're talking about, all came out to hear Jesus. We've all come out to worship God, and we've come because every Lord's Day is really special for us and good to have in our week, every week. Aside from that, let me just say, observing our prayers, Gray and Aiden, and a little later on, unprepared Aiden, who became wonderfully, did a great job of leading prayer. And Amun is going to lead us in our closing song. And we get some young people involved. Jay here, of course, is our new treasurer, has been for quite a while, and you see him involved. Good to see you, Stephen. Hadn't seen you in a while, so good to see you back. But it's great to see the young people coming, you know, and being a part of Christianity and doing such a good job. I mean, to come up and lead a prayer as we've witnessed and to have put your heart into it's a great thing. We're going to be again in Matthew 5. You don't, we're just really looking at the text that you see there. And originally I intended to put all three together, and so I put it up as this, but I think the more you get into these different Beatitudes, the more each one just seems to swell, and in studying, you begin to say, well, you can't leave that one out. You can't stop not say that, you know. And that's the way I felt as I've gone through the last few weeks. So, you know, we're going to be talking about meekness today as our one thing. Somebody said the surest steps to happiness are the church steps. And that really does apply again to all of us getting out and jumping over the obstacles until we got here, or going around the best we could to get here, because we know really the surest steps to happiness are the church steps. And thank God that you made your effort. But I thought with that surest steps are also the Beatitudes, the different Beatitudes, the different ones of them, one step at a time, but all of them, of course, to be stepped as we live out our Christian life, not one by one in order, but just make sure as we begin to flesh out each one in our lives that we understand them, but also that we participate in them and that we practice them in our life. Because Jesus says blessed. He says blessed or happiness 9 times. There are only 8 Beatitudes, but he repeats at the last one, which we'll get to, persecution. He repeats twice the blessedness of that. There may be something in that, by the way. But at any rate, we're talking about meekness today. And when I thought meekness, I always think of men. I think of how we might look at meekness as something like, you know, are you kidding me? I've got to be meek. Not me, of all people. It's just not manly to be meek. You know, meekness starts with an M, and so does the word milksop. And so, you know, a molly coddler. And so you don't want me to be meek, because you can't be manly and be meek at the same time. Well, we know that's not true, right? We know that's not true. That meekness is something that Jesus is teaching us. And so, of course, we know that it's right for us. But it still can be a man issue. Kind of foraging around in different thoughts from different people, I ran across this online, and I wish that I could share the website with you because it would be worth looking at. But on men, I just kind of Googled the question, or I used DuckDuck, but I DuckDucked the question, you know, about men and Christianity and the ratio between men and women. And I found that 25% more women attend regular worship service. And that doesn't mean some men aren't involved, but they're just not as involved. And so women, 25% more. But then others said, you know, the gospel is kind of wrapped, according to men, some of these men, in men repellent, in a men or a man repellent package, that things like this, meekness, you know, milksop, you know, kind of strikes us as something that we don't want to be. And so, of course, we want to kind of stay away from that. I don't know what exactly the percentage is. I don't have it in my notes. I did read it, but it's an awfully big percentage of separation between how many women are Christian, you know, have been converted to Christ, opposed to men. And it's bigger than the 25%. It's more like, you know, 40% higher or something. There are more women in churches than there are. And, you know, a lot of churches, I've been through all my time preaching and observing it, that we get into worship services sometimes and we wring our hands, literally, for finding enough men who are willing to get up front and participate, leading a prayer or doing the Lord's Supper or things like that. Just something that simple. But we worry about that because there's a lot of men that don't want to be a part of that. You know, I don't know whether it's a shyness issue. Surely sometimes we're shy. But it also could be that, you know, that's a little girly. I'm not sure I want to get involved in too far into that sort of thing. It's sad, isn't it? Isn't it sad that people sometimes think that especially we men sometimes feel like Christianity, or at least this aspect of it, Christ, you're calling me to be meek? You got to be kidding. I want to be manly. I don't want to be meek, as if they're opposites, and they're not. But men can be manly and be meek. Isn't that true? Let's say that again. Men can be manly, and we ought to preach and teach more on manliness, can be manly and also be meek. We know that because Jesus himself, Matthew 11, when he invited us to come unto him, all who are weak and weary of heart, and join with him, because he says, I am meek and humble of heart. Did you hear that? I am meek. That's Jesus. I mean, the manly of all men. I am meek. I'm the man, Jesus Christ, but I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. We also have the story in Matthew 21. That other one was in Matthew 11. Matthew 21, of Jesus riding on a big white, ferocious, prancing, snorting stallion, right? When he came into Jerusalem. Right? Okay, I want to check you, see if you're asleep or if you know your Bible. He did not come in riding a white, snorting, prancing stallion into Jerusalem as his triumphal entry. What did he come riding on? A donkey. Again, a donkey. Come on. You're supposed to be the king, and you're riding in on a donkey? And it's because of meekness. He rides in on a donkey. And it's a leadership of a whole different, another kind. Going to be more than what we are. And then there's Psalm 37. Here's where you need your Bibles. Crack your Bibles. Psalm 37. I'll give you the page number once I get to it. Psalm 37. You know I'm joking. But it is page 527, incidentally, if you need to know. 527 in my Bible anyway. This is the do not fret Psalm. Because he says, do not fret. He's not talking about playing guitars. Do not fret several different times. And you know, don't get all worked up. Don't get all unhappy about and even worried and having anxiety about those people who are evil. Verse 1. Only 11 verses here, so hang with me on it. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. First little step there. Make sure the first thing you do is, you know, you don't get all worked up about that, because he says they're like grass and they'll soon wither, like green plants will soon die. This incidentally is repeated in Proverbs 24 and verse 19, where Proverbs says, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong, for they have no future hope. That's the Proverbs. And their lamp will be snuffed out. And that's Proverbs. So don't fret, he's saying. Don't fret about this sort of thing. But here's what you do, and here's where we get into meekness. These are all qualifications or ways in which meekness is shown. Here's the first one, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So the first one is trusting in the Lord. You know, Jesus said, here's how I want you to behave among people. Somebody slaps you on the cheek. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to turn the other cheek. If someone insists that you go a mile with them, here's what you do. You go 2 miles. You know, don't get all worked up about these others. Trust me when I teach you these things, and do these things. Do good and take delight in the Lord, and he's going to give you what you want. That's the first part. Here, verse 5. Commit your ways to the Lord and trust in him. There it is again. Meekness requires trust is the thought there. And he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. So trust is an element of meekness, or meekness requires trust, but meekness also requires patience. When things are happening to you from the outside that make you get all ruffled up and want to respond to some kind of an angry confrontive kind of a way, be patient. You know, the old count to 10 rule, you know. Be patient and let it slip, because eventually you'll be okay. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. You know, in other words, they're getting ahead, you're not. And so be patient with the Lord, because in time it'll all work out. Now this is where he's heading, by the way. So he says in verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. That's almost the definition of meekness right there. To refrain from anger. When normally you would be angry about something that you've been treated unfairly about, you find yourself not getting as angry, and you start handling it. Refrain from anger. You restrain it. Hold it back. And that's meekness. And turned from wrath. Did you know the illustration of meekness that most people use, and I've used it before too, but anytime you look up meekness and you read up on it, sometimes people will point this out, and it's the one that I used about Jesus coming in on a donkey. And instead I had said a stallion, you know, that's prancing and snorting. But you know, that's an illustration that is a very good illustration of meekness. Because you have this powerful animal that is so noble, with the long flowing mane and the snorting and the stomping and all of that sort of thing. But you can train it to be a meek animal, even though it's got all that power behind it. And so men, you can be meek and still be very powerful. You can still be manly. Just hold that back in. Refrain not the manliness, but the things that sometimes people look at as manly. If somebody slaps you on the cheek, hit them with a baseball bat, the unmeek would say. But Jesus would say, no, no, let it happen. Refrain from becoming angry about it and turn away from the wrath that wells up in your heart. He says, for those who do evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord, here's where we're getting to it, will inherit the land. Now look at the notes up on the board behind you, behind me and that I see here. The middle one, blessed are the meek, for why? They will inherit the earth. And look at Psalm 37 again. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. And then he says in verse 10, a little while and the wicked will be no more. And though you look for them, they will not be found. Where'd all the weak go? Where'd all the wicked people go? They're not here anymore. That's what the Lord would say to us. And then he says, verse 11, but the meek will inherit the earth. You see that? That's in Psalm 37. So Jesus telling us, happy are those, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That has always been biblical. Meekness has always been something that God looks for in human beings. Because in it, he says, I will give you this reward of inheriting the earth. Now, let's just go another way. Basically, the definition, if you could put it into words, what would you say? Well, you might say something like this. Others have said some of these things. Having restraint, though you have the ability, not to. I mean, though you have the ability to respond in a powerful way. Having the restraint, though you have the ability, if you wanted to use it. That's what came to my mind. But it also means simply being mild-tempered. You know, you don't blow your stack at everything. You know, you handle things. You hold in. You restrain that anger again. Not easily provoked. You find these in the dictionary. Just simply being kind is another definition of meekness. Just being kind. When maybe you don't sometimes want to be kind, you know. Somebody rubs you the wrong way, but you still respond to them in a way that's in a kind way. Being gentle, another word. In 1 Peter 3, there's a teaching to women about it's not the outward appearance of the hairstyle and the perfume and the makeup that really make you, and the dress, how you dress, the kind of women the Lord wants. He wants you to have a gentle and a quiet spirit, 1 Peter 3. That word gentle is the word meek, to have a meek spirit. Maybe that's why men sometimes react, you know. Again, that's not very manly to tell the women, what I want you to be is meek. But he's telling all of us. It means to be gentle and then long-suffering. Then I ran across this from Colin Smith. This one is in openthebible.org. You ever want to look it up? It's got a good article on meekness, so you might get something out of it. He says, meekness is the means by which God trains the sinful soul. Now let's stop right there. Meekness is the means by which God trains us, the sinful soul, by taming the temper and subduing the assertive self, calming the passions, managing the impulses of the heart, and bringing order out of chaos in the soul. And then he says, meekness is like the taming of a wild horse. He's not the first one that said that. Man is by nature a wild creature with a short temper, impatient and self-opinionated. I thought, well, that's a good way of summing up this word. And then Jesus' example is found also in 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter wrote, He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So there's an example without the word even used of meekness. He didn't commit any sin in it. When people hurled insults at him, he didn't retaliate. That's meekness. When he suffered, he didn't make any threats. That's meekness. Instead, he entrusted himself to God. That's how to have meekness, is to trust God. You know, when Peter wanted to cut the ear off of Malchus the servant when they came at night to arrest Jesus, that's when Jesus said, hold on now, you know, put your sword away. Because if I needed to, if I were to ask the Father, he would send legions of animals, of angels. I'm sorry. Sometimes the mind doesn't work. 10,000 angels is our song. 10,000 angels. He could have sent 10,000 angels. That came from this text where Jesus said it. But he didn't say 10,000 angels. He said 12 legions of angels. And so I looked up legions and how many are in a legion of Roman soldiers. About 6,000. So multiply 6,000 times 12, and what do you come up with? 72,000 angels. I don't know about you, but one angel could lick me. How about you? He doesn't need 72,000 of them, but he had the ability to ask God for that. In other words, he had the power behind him. But he didn't use that. Instead, he submitted himself. And he could have called. Talk about someone who could call reinforcements. That's Jesus. And yet he didn't. He went to the cross for us. And so all he's asking us is to be like that. Be meek. And manly and female at the same time. You know, be yourself. But meekness is involved. And so finally, Scripture actually then commands us. Jesus says you'd be happy if you were to do it, and that you would inherit the land. That's going to be your blessing. But Paul writes in Ephesians 4, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Don't use those things, he says. Get rid of them. Which again makes room for meekness. Get rid of those things. And then on the other hand, he says, instead be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ in God forgave you. And so there's the passage Paul would say, the Holy Spirit. Again, be meek is what he's saying. Get rid of these things that aren't, and hold them down in your life, and instead be kind and compassionate. And that's meekness. And Jesus tells us if we do it, it'll make us happy. But he also says we'll inherit the earth. We don't have time to talk about that. I don't want to take the time. But inherit the earth could mean in the next life. As Psalm 37 says, the evil ones are all gone. You know, where'd they all go? You know, they're gone. And we get to heaven and they're all gone. Where'd they all go? Well, they're not here. But you're here, and this is here. So you've inherited this. That might be what he's saying. It could be, on the other hand, that he's saying you'll inherit the earth in the sense that the ones who really have the most power on the face of the earth are people who live like Jesus Christ, are people who obey what Jesus Christ says. And when we're meek, we actually perform greater feats on the earth than the mightiest warriors that have ever marched upon the earth. Because meekness is where the power is, and we really inherit the earth. We change people, and we convert the world from a wicked world and an evil world and a brutal world to a Christian world. And we see that in nations where Christianity has gone over history. A nation can be just completely running amok with wickedness and with all kinds of horrible things happening. But Christianity comes in and it calms people down and inherits the earth. I think that's what he means. Surely the second one, the first one, but the second in our time would be eternity and after Jesus Christ comes. But I think he means even now that this is how you could be successful in living your own life and also then be able to help other people around you. That's the inheriting the earth. We'll all have success in all of this. And that's perhaps what also makes us happy. But being meek is something that I think we sometimes disregard or sweep aside and say that's a little bit too soft, too milksoppy, and I want to be a little bit more manly, or I just want to be more assertive of myself. And Christ would say, well, just look at me and be meek and come and be with me. We want to be Christ-like, and that's one of them, to be meek.